Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that the way you enter that door is just as important as the way you go back out through that door? When you come to God's Word, the way you come to God's Word can have a gigantic impact on how you leave God's Word. Whether you go to God's Word reading the Bible or hearing it preached, or you go to a Bible study, the way you come, the way you begin, affects the way you end. So it is vitally important that we understand that when we come to God's Word, we have to come the right way. Or what we read or what we hear is going to have no impact on our life. Now, it can change as we read and it can change as we listen, but if we really want to get all we can out of God's Word, we have to think about the way we come to God's Word. So when we come to verse 19, I want you to notice that James says here, "My dear brothers, take note of this." Or we can translate it this way: know this. When you come to God's Word, know this. Take note of this. There's something that James wants us to know when we come before God's Word. Now, we come to this statement that says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And we often use these verses to help people who deal with anger. But I want you to know that is often used out of context. And although we may be able to use these words in talking to people about the issue of anger, it really relates to how we come to God's Word. That is the context. I read in a book that the longest sermon ever preached was 60 hours in 31 minutes. Can you imagine that? 1976. And the previous record holder had spoken for 52 hours. The guy said it took 2.5 years to write the sermon, and it was 500,000 words preached nonstop. It is important that we understand that God's Word is not meant simply to inform us. It is meant to transform our lives. The Great Commission is that we are to go and we are to make disciples. We are to baptize them. Then we are to teach them everything in God's Word. But then it says to teach them to be obedient. Our lives need to change as we come to God's Word. But it cannot happen. Change cannot happen unless we come to God's Word with a right heart attitude. And in these three verses, James talks about three different things that need to be true of our heart as we come to God's Word. And that's what I want to look at tonight. So, three things about our heart. Number one, have a receptive heart to God's Word. Have a receptive heart. Can you remember times in your life where maybe you read God's Word or you heard it preached and you got nothing out of it? Or maybe as you heard it, all it did was make you boil, make you get angry. Got to come before God's Word with a receptive heart. In these three verses, the main verb is really not until you get to the third verse. And it is down, my pages are sticking together. Go down with me to verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. Humbly accept the word planted in you. Main verse of the passage, these three verses. So as we look at that being the main verse, then what is the context of this passage is, it's talking about how we respond to the God's Word.
how we receive God's word. And when we come to verse 19, in fact, through the end of the chapter, it is all about how we respond to the word of God. These three verses dealing with our heart. If we are going to correctly respond to God's word, it needs to begin with a receptive heart.
So in verse 19, he talks about, verse 19 and 20, he talks about three things that relate to a receptive heart. First one is this: be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. The word quick here has the idea of being prompt or swift. In other words, when you come to hear God's word preached, I'm going to use it whether it's preached or it's a Bible study, whether it's you just going to God's word and reading it, the first thing that needs to happen in our life as we come is we need to come with our ears and not our mouth. If we're going to have a receptive heart, we need to use our ears first and then our mouth. I've heard so often, God gave us two ears and only one mouth, because he expects us to listen before we speak. Quick to listen, prompt, ready to listen to what is being preached. Hurry, speedy, just prepare to use these instead of this. The thought is, before you do anything else, listen. Before you do anything else, come before God with open ears, ready to listen. We need to fight the battles that would keep our mind and our heart from hearing the word of God. And that's the indication here. It's not just kind of that we're hearing, but our heart and our mind is open before God's word. It is ready and receptive to respond, hear, accept the word of God that we are listening to. Now, there have been times as a pastor that I have stood in the back of a church, and as people have walked out, I could say already, that person didn't listen. That person didn't hear a word I said. You know what? Sometimes there are times as I am speaking, I can see in eyes. Nothing going on there. There's no reception going on. We need to listen. We need to hear. We need to be ready with our heart and our mind to hear what is being said. And it's surprising that sometimes you hear Christians talking about caring less whether they listen to God's word or they hear God's word, and their mind and heart's all over the place except at hearing the word of God. In fact, I've seen in churches where sometimes people come in and they are just ready to pounce on the first thing they hear that they don't like. Sometimes people come before the word of God and they sit there and say, "All right, I'm here, but I dare you to bless me. And I'm ready to get whatever you say I don't like." Be quick to listen. And then notice he adds to it, slow to speak. The word has the idea of an extended period of time. So with my ears, I'm prompt, I'm ready to hear, but with my mouth, I'm slow to begin speaking. It's not talking about slow while I'm speaking, but slow to begin speaking. Why? Because I'm ready to listen. I can't tell you how many times in speaking to people I have had to say something like, "Did you hear a word I said?" You ever say that to someone? "Did you hear a word I said?" Because they weren't listening. They were just ready to tell you what they had in their mind to get to you, but they didn't hear anything you said. I think sometimes husband and wives go through those battles. I saw that in faces. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Proverbs 17:28, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." I remember that, memorized that verse many, many years ago, and that's why, besides preaching, often I like sitting in a corner and just listening.
That way everyone thinks I'm smarter than what I really am. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his lip guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that is folly and his shame. Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. The thought is that we need to be listening before we're speaking, before we are responding. So we are first receiving what we're hearing before we are ever responding.
Sometimes Connie and I will sit and watch a program. And it's more my fault than her fault. Make sure you tell her I said that. But we will sit and we will start watching a program, and someone will say something. She'll turn to me and say, well, what did he mean by that? And I said, well, just listen, and they'll tell you. And that is true. We need to listen before we speak. Listening precedes speaking. And I think with that in mind, it's a shame when we thrust brand new converts into speaking and into doing things with their mouth before they've ever really had an opportunity to learn God's Word. We need to be slow in doing that. Listening precedes commenting on the Word of God. Listening precedes saying anything as we hear the Word of God. Whether it's preached, whether it is in a Sunday school lesson, whether we are reading God's Word, we need to be slow to respond, slow to speak, quick to listen. Then notice the third part of this is slow to become angry. The word slow here is the same word that is used above when it talked about being slow to speak. Slow to become angry. Slow to get angry about what we have heard. Proverbs 14:17 says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. Patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays his folly. Someone has said, folks who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. The context here is hearing, listening, how we respond to the Word of God. It is how we hear God's Word coming to our heart, coming into our mind. How do you respond when the Word of God confronts your behavior? How do you respond to the Word of God when you hear something preached or something taught and it contradicts what you're doing in life? Are you quick to turn someone and say, I didn't like that, now I disagree with that? And are you quick to begin to get angry? See, the idea is that we have receptive hearts, so as we hear God's Word, we kind of just sit back and we listen and we take it all in and we hear the entire thing that is being said, and we kind of come before God's Word and kind of say, all right, I need to hear this. Turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 4. I want to show you what Paul said in relationship to this. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 16. Paul is speaking to the Galatians, and he's contradicting teaching and behavior going on in the Galatian church. And I want you to notice his comment about what's going on. He says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? You know, false teachers had crept into the Galatian church and they were teaching a contradictory gospel, which Paul says was no gospel at all. He comes to the church and he tells them the truth. They respond in anger and he says, you know, am I your enemy now because I've told you the truth? I don't know about your home. Let me tell you one thing that happens in mine and Connie's relationship. She will ask me whether I like her dress or not. And I will always tell her the truth how I feel about it. Connie, I'm talking about you.
She'll ask me whether I like what she's wearing, and I will always tell her the truth. She went too quick, or I would tell you why she said that. Let her do it. But here's what she says. She said, the reason she asked me is because she knows I'll tell you the truth. When we hear God's word, we need to come before God's word and say, I want to hear the truth. We need to be receptive. Whether the truth of God's word contradicts our behavior, contradicts our attitude, contradicts our beliefs, we need to come before God's word and say, all right, here I am, what does it say?
I remember years ago, probably when I around the time I first became a pastor, if I remember right, and I remember seeing on the news that this pastor got up to preach in his church. And someone stood up in the church right as he began preaching. He said, Pastor, preacher, you're not going to speak to me. Pull out a gun and shot him right between the eyes. And, you know, I think although people don't always do that literally, I think sometimes that's how we hear God's word. And we need to come before God's word with a receptive heart. And I think, you know, that begins at home. That begins on Saturday night. We need to come, and on Saturday night, we need to kind of stop our lives and say, all right, tomorrow's the time where I'm going to corporately worship God with other believers. I need to now begin to prepare my heart and come before God and, you know, say, God, help me to have a receptive heart as I come to hear your word tomorrow. Or as we live our lives, you know, you're at home, and I hope you're doing this. You open up the Bible, and you begin reading or studying or memorizing Scripture. I hope as you begin, you come before God and say, God, I'm here to learn. Help me to have a receptive heart. Prepare my heart to hear your word. If we don't come before God's word that way, then when we're all done, we're going to walk away and get nothing. I truly believe God will only give you as much as you can handle. And if you can't handle the truth of God's word, then God is not going to give you more truth. So sometimes when you come before God's word and you don't come with that receptive heart, you don't come quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You don't come with a heart that says, I want to learn, I want to hear, I want to understand, I want my life to become more like Jesus, then you come before God's word and you walk away and say, I'm not getting anything out of that. A heart that walks away with something has to be receptive to what God's word is saying. And that's part of the reason why before we get saved, we read the Bible and we don't get anything. I mean, the other part is we don't have the Holy Spirit in our life, but we have to come before God's heart with that receptive heart to be ready to listen, to be slow to speak and say, here I am. I want to be a sponge. I want to soak it in. And I want to hear your word. So as you come to God's word, have a receptive heart. Number two, as you come to God's word, have a clean heart. Have a clean heart before God's word. Notice verse 21. Well, before we get there, verse 20, notice verse 20. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. If we are before God's word with that angry heart, if we are, you know, letting anger control our life, that is not going to bring the righteous life that God wants in your life. Anger doesn't cut it. And the reason is because when we respond to God's word in anger, we're not hearing, we're not receiving, our life's not being changed. God wants us to live a righteous life, so anger's not going to do it. Secondly, have a clean heart. Verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. The word get rid of is a word that is used of taking off old dirty clothes.
literally means to put off, to lay aside, to get rid of. Take off old, dirty clothes, discard them. We have a coat that has been sitting in the foyer, I think, forever. Don't know whose it is, but I want you to know it's not going to be there much longer. I thought tonight as I was standing back there, let me go through these pockets, you know, because I never have. It's just been sitting there, and I started going through the pockets, and I pulled out a handful of cigarettes. And they were old, they were dirty. I had cigarette ash all over my hand, and, you know, I opened the door, and I just started going like this to clean off my hands. That's this word. Get rid of moral filth. As you come to God's word, get rid of moral filth. Now, why does James say that? Because if you come before God's word with a dirty heart, God's word can't change you. Moral filth is a word that literally means dirt. Dirt. In this case, he's talking about moral dirt. Unclean, dirty, filthy, evil. Moral filth and evil that is so prevalent in our world. Get it out of your life as you come to the Word of God. Come to God's Word with a clean heart. Now, he's not saying come before God's Word perfect. He's not saying that. Because if that were true, none of us could come to God's Word. He's saying when you come before God's Word, you have to get rid of the moral filth. You got to get rid of that junk that is so prevalent in our world. I'm going to give you some reasons why. Let's do this. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you something. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Verse 2. Crave pure spiritual milk. But before you do that, get rid of filth. Get rid of immorality in your life. I don't care how much... Think of a newborn baby. And you think of that newborn baby, the first thing you give that baby is milk. So think for a moment, you're given a brand new baby. I remember, I was talking with someone the other day, I'm always forgetting who I'm talking to. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about newborn babies and the fact that, you know, you hold them in your arms and you wish you had a manual and to take home with you that would tell you exactly how to, you know, what to do with a baby. But think of a moment, you have your newborn baby, you're in the hospital, and you sit down, you think, all right, first thing we do is we give the baby milk. That's kind of a thing everybody knows. But if instead of giving your baby milk, the first thing you do is give your baby poison. No matter how much milk you give your baby, that baby's going to die. The milk is going to have no value in that baby's life if, first of all, you're feeding it poison. Peter is saying, look, and James is saying the same thing. When you come to God's word, you got to cleanse your heart. Or the intake of God's word is going to have no value in your life. How do you do that? Well, you come before God's word and you seek his forgiveness. You ask God to clear your heart, to cleanse you of the moral filth as you come before God's word. And at that moment in your life, you seek, as Psalm 19 says, to take care of any hidden sin. You seek to take care of anything you know that is wrong in your life. And you come before God's word and you ask God to come with a clean heart. And that is so valuable in a person's life. You know, because every time before we come, or when we come before God's Word, and it all happens on a daily basis, we're coming before God's Word, and it is a time to get our life right with God. It's a time for cleansing. We come before God's Word, and we say, God, you know, I want to be pure before you. I want to be right before you. I want to be open before you. I want to be clean before you. God, help me to receive your Word into my heart. We see this principle in James. We see it here in Peter. And there's another spot in God's Word. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, among others. Let me show you something in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Cleanse yourself. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want you to notice this word, then. Come before God, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that's done as you come to the Word of God. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. In other words, until your life is right before God, you cannot come before God's will and realize, the end of the verse, that it is good, pleasing, and perfect. I want you to know if your life's full of sin, you will not see God's will as good, pleasing, and perfect. And that is why counseling sometimes fails. Because you hear the counselor, you hear the pastor telling you what you need to do with your life. You hear the preacher telling you, here's what you need to do. And because your heart is full of sin, because your life hasn't been cleansed, you hear what is being saying. You say, I don't like that. And that's why he says in James chapter 1, he says, look, be slow to become angry. You got to cleanse your heart. Because as you hear the word of God, it's just not gonna pierce. And all you're going to do is get angry with the word of God. James 1 says, look, this evil that is so prevalent in our world, so excessive, so surplus in our world. A heart and life that is full of sin and wickedness creates a barrier to the Word of God. If your heart is full of sin, if your heart is full of moral filth and evil that we see in our world, if you as a Christian come before God's Word and you look at your lifestyle and the way you're living and your attitudes and everything else, and it looks just like the world, then as you come before God's Word, there is a barrier there. That is why when we come to God's Word, we kind of have to take the world and throw it out so we can hear God's Word. Because all the things that the world does and all the junk it fills our heart and life with, it just creates a barrier to hearing God's Word and being receptive to God's Word. So have a clean heart before when you come to God's Word. As you sit down to pray, or as you sit down to read, pray. As you come in to hear God's Word preached on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or even on a Wednesday night, you know, take a moment to say, God, you know, help me to listen, help me to hear, help me to be receptive. And, you know, if there's anything messed up in my life, boy, what a great time to get it right. Or all you're doing is putting up a wall. And God's Word's going to have a hard time getting through that wall. Number three. Have a humble heart. Have a humble heart. Someone who is humble is teachable. Verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent in, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Humility is teachability.
Hearing God's word with humility is saying, here I am, I'm ready to listen, I'm ready to hear your word, God. Teach me what I need to hear. And as I mentioned, this is the main verb of this passage. And the word has the idea of welcoming or receiving as a guest. We had some people over to watch a game this afternoon. The Steelers were playing Minnesota Vikings. And as expected, the Steelers won. Two fourth quarter interceptions, ran all the way back for touchdowns. And, you know, if you come to my house, I have a Steeler, what do you call those things that you stand on to wipe your feet when you're coming in? And I put my Steeler sign on the front door and kind of saying, all right, come on in, especially Steeler fans. Do you come before God's word teachable? Or you come before God's word, and there's a couple ways we can do this. We can come before God's word and say, I know it all. That person is not going to teach me anything. Or we can come before God's word and say, I know them more than them, so you're not going to teach me anything. You can come before God's word and say, you know, I know this, I know that. You know, I'm here, but I'm really not here. If you don't come before God's word and say, God, my life, my heart, my words, my attitudes are yours. I'm here to listen. I'm here to hear. I'm here to hear what you have to say for my life. Not for my wife, not for my husband, not for my friend, not for the person, you know, my child, not for my parent. I am here for me. And I want my life to change. I want to become more like Jesus Christ. I want to be what you want me to be. God, here's my life. Here's my heart. Teach me. If you don't come before God's word that way, you are going to come before God's word and you're going to have all kinds of barriers and your growth is simply going to be stunted. Now, how important is it that we come before God this way? I want you to notice he adds a phrase here right at the end of the verse. Notice it. Which can save you. This is God's word that has been implanted in your life. It goes all the way back to Matthew 13, Jesus' parable where he talks about the sower and the seed. It goes to Peter when Peter said the word of God which has been planted in your heart. It's here in James saying, look, God's word has been put within your heart, put within your life when you got saved. It's the word that saved you. It's the word that will save you. And it speaks of the priority of the importance of coming before God with a right heart attitude. If we can come before God's word, receptive, pure, and humble, I want you to know you will hear things for your life like you've never heard them before. You will see God's word come alive like you've never seen it before. It doesn't mean that there may be times still in your life where we go with what we sometimes call dry periods, but I want you to know when you come before God's word consistently that way, where you're just coming before God and saying, you know, teach me. We are getting to ready to begin to teach you a new song, a new chorus. It's written by Amy. It's pretty neat to begin learning and singing choruses written by somebody in our church. It's a song that we've entitled Me for Your Glory, and it speaks about God working in our life. And part of the words of the song that you wrote are mold me, use me. That's how we need to come before God's word. That God would come in our life and he would use us for his glory. That he would change us and make us what we need to be. I wonder, when you hear God's word, are there certain words off limit?
I mean, are there certain issues, certain things that you say to yourself, as soon as you hear it, that's it. I don't want to hear it. Sometimes think about that. You know, when I those of you who have email, I most often email you the titles for the coming week's messages, or at least the topics. And I often wonder if someone sees a topic and says, all right, I don't want to hear that one. Maybe I won't even come to church. You know, there are certain areas that we, sometimes people say that in their life. James is saying, look, if we are going to respond to God's word, it all begins with the way we begin. The way you respond begins with the way you begin. And we must begin with a receptive, pure, and humble heart that comes before God's word and says, here I am. Teach me. Let's stand for closing word of prayer. Father God, help us, Lord, every time we read your word or hear your word, to come with a heart ready, a heart that's receptive, a heart that's pure, a heart that's humble. Help us, Lord, not to be full of the moral filth and evil which is so prevalent in our world. And I pray, Lord, we would begin with wanting to take in all we can. Help us, Lord, to be sponges so that after we have been filled up, we can squeeze out our life into others. And we can see this world change. And Lord, begin in each of our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.